Here we go. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Amen?
Amen.
Now there was a famine in the land. Say famine. Amen. That means there's no food. Amen. It's like Albertsons being closed off all over the whole nation of Israel or Canaan. It says, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt. Nothing good happens in Egypt. Can I get a witness on that? Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Now think about this, ladies. As he was about to enter Egypt, it was Valentine's Day on Friday, by the way, let me remind you of that. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. And you ladies are happy with that part. Amen? What a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and then they will kill me, but let you live. So, hon, say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. Lord, we come before you knowing that you hung on a cross for us, that you paid the price for us, Lord, that there were no backroom deals, that there were no lies that were going on, Lord, to pay for our well-being, that it was your blood shed on the cross, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the past, Lord, as comes up, choices we have made, trip us up, that you would guide us to truth. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Valentine's Day, Friday night, we had the newlywed game. Everybody all arrayed up there, the Gaudets before Pastor Scott got sick, and the Camachos and us, and the Sandovals, previously called the Peñas, and Mike and Eva, and Lisa and I were able to win. Thank you. But you know what? It was great fun. And they said it was so much fun that we need to do something else. And so we're thinking family feud. And it doesn't have to just be your family. Put together a team, five people, and we're going to do it towards the end of March. We'll do it on a Friday night, same type of thing with desserts. And we'll just have a celebration of good times and fun. Amen?
Amen.
Now, but Valentine's Day, these couples were arrayed up here, and I can't imagine any of them ever had a conversation like the one we are peeking in on between Abram and Sarai. You know what I'm talking about? We're in a series called Finding Faith. And Abram is called the father of the faith. And as we read today, he is not looking like it. Amen? Man of God is supposed to act like the man of God. And Abram is just not making it. Maybe you can relate. Maybe there have been choices that you have made that you are not real pleased with. Abraham got to the promised land, the land that God had called him to, that he was going to give him a great reward. He got there and left. Have you ever got to the place where God called you to and then just left because you thought you had something better going on? Anybody? That has happened to me. I don't think leaving Canaan was the best choice that Abram ever made. And he goes on to mess up with his wife. And so much like us that we can make poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, and it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. And it appears as we are reading this that Abram has buried himself pretty deep. So deep, in fact, that only the Lord can get him out. And a pattern begins to build in Abram's life of poor choice after poor choice. And the Lord is right there with him all along the way, guiding him into truth. And I don't know how many poor choices. I see Aaron up here crying as he is reminded of his poor choices. Amen? And the mercy of God that has called him out of darkness and into light. Message today is better choices. Because some of our choices are hard to get away from. But as you get a clearer picture of the Lord, things will go easier for you. Amen? Let's take a look at better choices. All right, these are the verses I read. I want to read them to you again just to let them sink in. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so bad. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said, Sarai, I know what a babe you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, let's kill this guy and take her. So let's say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Abram is not a model husband. I don't think any of our men up here, right, Eva? You don't see Mike doing that, right? Trying to look at some of the other ladies that were up here. Julie's gone. They're all teaching. They're all gone. Wow, that's wild. Oh, there you are. Reuben, never do anything like that, right? No. I've never done that. I've always called Lisa my wife. And Abram is to be the man of God, but at this point he is falls short of the plan of God. You might ask, ladies, well, what is the plan of God? How much does God require of my husband? Ephesians 5:28. Husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Amen? He says, he who loves his wife loves himself. And Abram's not getting it done. Abram's all about Abram. Abram is all about taking care of himself. Imagine the conversation. Hey, babe, I got a little thing I want to ask you to do for me. Just between me and you. Imagine how Sarai felt walking out of that conversation. Really? Sister? And he even says, he even tells her why he's going to make this little lie up. He says, so things will go well for me. See, it is hard to be the man of God when you are only worried about yourself. Let me try that again. It is hard to be the man of God when you're only worried about yourself. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How different Abram is from Joseph. See, Joseph goes down to Egypt and, I mean, he gets to Egypt and his life is crumbling. His brothers have sold him into slavery, faked his death to his dad. If you don't know who Joseph is, towards the end of Genesis, we read about Joseph. He is Abram's great-grandson. And he goes down to Egypt, and he's sold as a slave, and he goes into Potiphar's house, and he gets jailed because Potiphar's wife tries to put the moves on him. He's not having any of that because he's a man of God. And so they throw him into jail, and God gives him the ability to interpret the dreams. Shooting off the hip here, and the baker and the cup holder. Baker, which one gets his head cut off? Baker or the cup holder? So the cup holder goes, and he's back with the king. And he's supposed to help Joseph out. He forgets about Joseph. Another 2 years he's in prison. And you could easily see Joseph saying, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go my own way. But instead, Joseph grabs tighter and tighter onto this picture of God that he has. And God delivers him to the seat of power in Egypt. How different Joseph is from Abram. We see a similar picture in David, who is just the least of all the sons of Jesse. And he says, let me see the small guy, Samuel says. And he says, he's going to be the new king, and he becomes the king of Israel. See, in Daniel's life, when Daniel is one of the lost Israelites that have been sent to Babylon, And he's a man of God, and he prays, and God lifts him up to the very seat of power. It is amazing what God can do with faith. Amen? All right, let's keep on taking a look at Abram here. But the Lord, okay, let me get a couple of verses in here. So Sarai shows up. Abram says, she's my sister. Imagine all the people that are following Abram because he's heard the word of the Lord. The Lord has called me. He's called. He's going to give me this land. Oh, really? That's how that works. She's going as his sister. You know, we're just between me and you, right? All the people that had traveled with him all the way from Babylon, all the way from Haran, they all knew she was his wife, and they all knew he was lying. Oh, that's how this is. You ever see people like that? Put on a big show and there ain't no core there? He says, so they get there. Sarai is a babe. Pharaoh does take her. Pharaoh does pay off Abram. Says, and takes Sarai as his wife. They're going to get married. And Abram's getting paid. Abram seems to be fine with it. God's not fine with it. The Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai. Because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go. And the Lord shows up. Amen? Yeah. Abram making some poor choices. Sarai being faithful. Why did the Lord step in? I don't know. I don't know why sometimes the Lord doesn't step in. But he's got a lot riding on this. He's got the promise. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And Abram gives the promise away because that promise is tied to his wife. The two will become one flesh. Can I get a witness on that? And Abram says, hey, I got to get paid. So, hon, I'm going to put you out. God's not with that. Sarah's part of the promise. God steps in and rescues Sarai. Pharaoh's inflicted with diseases, and I am dying to know who told Pharaoh. How does Pharaoh know, man? I mean, Pastor Dave is sick. Let's say God is inflicting sickness on the church and is sick. Pastor Dave is sick. How would he know? How would he know it wasn't just a little kid sneezing on him on Friday? How does Pharaoh know? Well, in chapter 20 of Genesis, and I won't go into it right now, but Abram pulls the same thing in Gerar to Abimelech and says, hey, hon, we're going to say you're my sister again. And God speaks to Abimelech in a dream. No, 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 no. Don't take Sarai. She's mine. So I firmly believe, although it is not stated in the text, that God sent the disease and God let Pharaoh know. He says, take it and go. He gives them all the money, all the livestock, all the silver, all the gold. In my mind, why doesn't Pharaoh just kill the guy? Right? What? Kill him. I mean, just go kill him. Kill everybody he brought, kill all the livestock, kill everything. I want nothing to do with this guy. Just grind it all into the ground. But Pharaoh knows he's in over his head. Whoa. This is beyond me. You ever get to where you're feeling that way? This is beyond me. Got a call Sunday night. My son had gone to a birthday party at Fiesta Island. Now I just got to let you know that is just a lie from the pit. It is not really Fiesta Island. It's just like this mud flat. If you're thinking, you know, that you're going to go to this wonderful place, go someplace else, man. But Fiesta Island, that's just a lie. And so my son, who's gone out there for the birthday, he says, "Dad, I got a little bit of a problem." I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah, I was doing donuts out in Fiesta Island. And I knocked the tire off my rim." And Lisa's going, "What should we do? What should we do? Oh, no, my." I said, "You got a spare, right?" "Yeah." I said, "Put the spare on." "Done deal." Well, going back to sleep. Calls back about 40 minutes later. "Spare's flat." I said, "Josh is with you, right?" Josh's driving his mom's car. You might want to check that car for mud, by the way. And I said, "Take it to the gas station. Pump that thing up." Going back to sleep. Calls back about 30 minutes later. "It won't hold air, Dad." I said, "Well, jack it up, bring home the original tire, bring home the spare, and we'll take a look at it in the morning." And he goes, "Am I in trouble?" Sometimes you can just feel a little overwhelmed. Amen? And it is nice. I just let him fix his tire, do all that stuff. I figure that fixing the tire, not having the air hole tire, all that kind of stuff, was punishment enough. Amen? All right. Because sometimes life is his own penalty. Amen? All right. So here we go. Let's continue on. Genesis chapter 13, 1 through 4. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and in gold. And from the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And as I'm reading this, and as you're reading this, you might be thinking that things are looking pretty good for old Abram. That Abram is indeed rich. That he had gained wealth down in Egypt. And it would appear that God is blessing the selfish acts of Abram. I mean, he is back in the land of God, back lined up on God, right? He's back at the altar, right? But this is really not a picture of somebody who is on track with God. Now, stepping out on God can appear to be an attractive option. Maybe you've thought this, "Lord, I'll be right back. I just got to be over here, take care of a little business, and I'll be right back with you." And those choices will come back and snatch you. Amen? That's what Abram did. And you see him calling out to God, and he's calling out to God because he is back in the land, but he is still lost. "Where are you, God? I got all this stuff, and I don't know what to do with it." God has offered him provision. God has offered him protection. And Abram has traded all that in for stuff. Jesus says, don't make that trade. Jesus says, Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" You know, there is stuff, there are trades that you and I might make that we don't realize really what's at stake. Some choices are just hard to get away from, especially when you don't have a clear picture of the Lord. Amen? All right, let's continue reading. So Abram said to Lot, let me see how many verses we skip here. We skipped 6 verses because they had some quarreling going on. You know, they got so much stuff they can't even fit together, and all their people are starting to fight and stuff because they're just crawling all over each other. So Abram said to Lot, verse 8, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine. For we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. He's talking about the Garden of Eden. And Lot gets a choice. We all get choices. Bible says that they went to the space between Bethel and Ai. And you see that that is in the mountains. You can see that, right, from the contours on that? If you can't, I'm telling you, it's in the mountains. And that gray area, that is the plain of the Jordan. And Lot is looking up and going, wow, what a setup. There's water there. There's crops there. There's cities that are there. So I got all my crops, all the feed for my livestock. I've got provision I can get at the cities. Easy choice. Easy choice. I'll take the plains of the Jordan every time. I got to think it looked pretty good to Abram as well. Because Abram's going, hey, which way do you want to go, man? I'll just go the other way. And I want you to know that as they are looking left and right, that Abram was offering the promised land to Lot. You want the promise? I'll go to the plains of the Jordan. How little the plan of God was to Abram. That he would surrender it to Lot. This is an FYI. Most people place Sodom right there. Everything looked good. Lot said, hey, I'll go to the right. I'm going to take the plains. It was all good. But it was not all good. Because, verses 12 and 13, Lot pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. There are some choices that you can make that are pretty hard to get away from. Lot made the wrong choice. And Abram didn't necessarily make the right one. He just took the other choice. It was not like he was pursuing the promise. It was not like he was pursuing the things of God and the life of God. Abraham had heard the voice of God, but was not lined up on the plan of God. And my question for you this morning is, have you heard the voice of the Lord, and how are you responding? Are you lined up on the plan of God? Are you a person of faith? Have you achieved faith? Or are you like Abram, just kind of wandering around with this God thing kind of going on, but going your own way in your own time? With your own style, and making poor choice after poor choice after poor choice. Because you can hear the voice of God and still not line up on him. I remember being 6 years old. Me and my buddy went to a church because they would give away candy. And we only went like one time. I don't know why. It was far. We had to walk. And it was over in Holtville, which is on the other side of El Centro. And I remember going there. I'm six, and the lady was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart. I'm 6 years old. And I came out of that class, and I remember it. I remember saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart, but I don't know how to let you in. It took me 23 years to find out how to open my heart to the Lord. Heard his voice. I remember calling out to the Lord. I was 15. Cops were chasing after me because we were stealing alcohol. And I was hiding from the police. And I remember going, God, if you get me out of this, I will serve you. And he was listening. 15 years old, it was another 14 years until I found the way to let the Lord open up, come into my heart. As we read about Abram, it's going to take another 25 to 30 years before he truly lines up on the Lord. How are you doing today? Some choices are hard to get away from. Amen? All right. Sorting things out. This is what Abram's doing, man. I mean, he has left Ur of the Chaldeans with his dad. His dad died in Haran. He's got to the promised land. He goes down to Egypt, comes back out of Egypt. He's just one big mess. Maybe you can relate. Maybe that's why you're here today. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, Genesis 13, 14 through 16, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north, south, east, and west. That's all there is. Right? I mean, you got north, I don't know which way, south, east, and west. That's all there is. Look everywhere you see, and all the land I will give to you and your offspring forever. That's a pretty good deal, amen? I mean, there's not a lot of places where you get everything. Everything you see. It says, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And Abram hears from God. Abram is finally where God wants him to be. He is in the promised land, and he has finally left his father's household. When he is called from Ur of the Chaldeans, he says, leave your father's household, leave your country, leave your people. And he's been dragging Lot all the way. So finally, they got so much stuff that Lot has to part, not because Abram's thinking, I'm going to be the man of God, Lot, you got to go. But because their herdsmen are fighting so much that they can't get along together. And Abram just kind of backs into the plan of God. And I want to let you know this morning that you can never back into the plan of God. That the Lord will come and present his plan to you. At some time, you're going to have to go after it and you're going to have to get it. Can I get a witness on that? That there is going to have to be a response. That there's going to have to be a desire to leave your past and pursue a future. Amen. And Abram does not appear to have that. God says, lift up your eyes. I think the Lord had to get Abram's eyes off of his own stuff. He says, he's got so much stuff he can't even fit in the land. And he's probably all full of himself thinking, man, I got it made. And the Lord says, pick up your eyes, get beyond all this piddly stuff that is all yours. And everything you see, that's my gift for you. He said, you're not going to back into this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You're not going to back into that gift. He says, I shed my life for you. And I will give that life to you, but I want everything you have in return. Jesus says, you give me your life. You give me that life that you have messed up. I need the teenagers in here, Miss Sandra. Yes, yes, yes. Poor choices, hard to get away from. Come on, Mr. Reuben. Time to act like a grown-up, not a little two-year-old. There we go. Jesus says, I hung on a cross for you, shed my blood for you. He says, you give me your life, and I'll give you mine. Yes. You're not going to back into that, folks. Amen. Abram is not going to back into the promise of God. Let's continue on. We're almost done. Abram responds in obedience. God says to Abram, go and walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents, and he's got all this stuff. And he went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. It would take you a week to walk from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee. That's just one way. That's not going crosswise. He says, you walk through this land. Take a minute and walk out my gift to you. Because so often, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm really hungry, but can you do a little... Can you deliver it to my house? See, God says to us, he says, you're going to have to work out this plan. To Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. Joshua was invading the land of the Canaanites, this very land that Abram is standing in. He says, hey, you've got an army. You've got a great nation of people. Walk the land. And you know what? They didn't walk the land. There were areas of the land hundreds of years later that were still not taken because they did not claim it with their feet. There are some choices that you will make that are hard to get away from. God says, I got so much for you, but you're going to have to grab onto it. God makes big demands, and as you walk with him, you will find out that his promises go hand in hand with his demands. Abram begins to get a feel for this. Goes back to the altar. Says there, he says he built an altar to the Lord. Continues to say, and he worshiped him there. That act of worship is as we ascribe worship to the Lord, we ascribe worth to him and we lift him up. There are some things in your life, some choices that you make that are hard to get away from, but you can move beyond them as you get a clearer picture of the Lord. Amen? Jesus says, as I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And as you get a clearer picture of God, as you get an understanding of all the promises that are from the Lord and the requests that he makes, there might be some lots that are hanging around in your life. Some people that are dragging you down. Because I tell you what, God was going to do a work in Abram, and he was not doing one in Lot. And it's because Lot had chosen to go the other way. And there might be some people that you are hanging with, that you are dragging with you, that are never going to open their hearts to the work and the plan of God. Amen. And there are some times that you are just going to have to part company. And at that point, then you can start to figure out what is going on with the Lord. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? Maybe you came in here this morning. Poor choice after poor choice after poor choice. Lord has called you. And you have been just playing around, trying to get paid. Say, Lord, I'll be right back. I got a little business. Poor choice. I have done it. What I have found, what Abraham finds, is the clearer picture you get of the Lord, the better off you're going to be. As we close our time, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. Perhaps there are some things that you need to let go of. Well, we have an altar up here. We have an opportunity to get a clearer picture of God. I'd like to have you just stand, if you would. Amen. Abram worshiped the Lord. And I invite you, the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. I invite you to just come and worship. And as you do that, as you ascribe worth to the Lord, you lift him up in your life. You lift him up. He says, lift up your eyes, Abram. Take a look west, east, north, and south. It is all there as a gift to you, but all this wealth that you got, all that you consider valuable, is just dragging you back. And I don't know what you have. Here Aaron's speaking of in worship this morning, the stuff that was dragging him back and the things that the Lord has done. There is that thing that happens in worship. And so I just invite you as we begin to sing this song to just move out from your chairs and just move right up here. Yes. Yes. And we're going to worship. Yes. And the Lord is going to guide us and move us into truth, and we will see. We'll see. That all things are better with him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up. Let's sing. Oh, dear.